All right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. We're going to use this passage as an introduction to our study in the book of 2 John, in the letter, the epistle of 2 John. But I want us to begin by just taking a look here at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and this is again Jesus in a conversation with the Jews, and at this point they are having a difficult time with his message and with his claims, and you're going to see here how he speaks to them is very forthright. But I want you to take note of the concept of truth. Let me just begin in verse 30. And as he, that is Jesus, spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, well, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You, therefore, hear them not, because you are not of God. I'll just stop there, but I want you to take note of truth and how important truth is, and especially here in the message of Jesus Christ to the Jews. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as you saw this, as he builds the case against them, I want you to take note in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would, what's the word? You would love me. And there is a very intricate connection between truth and love. Flip over a few pages to John chapter 13. After Judas Iscariot left the room, the last supper, after Jesus said, you know, go and do what you're supposed to do, and Judas Iscariot left, verse 31 of chapter 13, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and listen to this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now let's go to the epistle of 2 John. Just a small little letter. The epistle of 2 John. Now, just by way of refresher, this epistle was written most likely during the reign of Domitian, who is the emperor in Rome. He is not known for being friendly towards Christians, and therefore these people are facing the persecution of the Romans at this point. Remember, one of the big things in the Roman Empire was emperor worship. And part of emperor worship demanded that every year they would make certain kind of sacrifice and say a certain oath in reference to the emperor. And of course, Christians are unable to do that if they want to remain faithful to the Lord. All right, so 2 John, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Notice, as we read this, the mentions of love and the mentions of truth. Already we have seen in verse 1, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. And we'll pick that up next time we're together. But I wanted you to see the progression. Now, last time we were together, we talked about truth. What is truth? Just a brief outline that I put together from verses 1 through 4. What is truth? Truth is a regulator of true love. You see that in verse 1 where it says, the elder, the elect lady, and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. In other words, love takes place, true love takes place in the sphere of truth. Think about this concept. Without truth, love, true love, agape love, does not know standards or boundaries. It is truth that gives us the focus of our love and helps us to know how to love and gives us parameters on what that love should look like. It's truth that does that. I want you to see the intimate connection between these two things. Truth is what makes agape love unique and special. Now, as we think about that, think about truth. Jesus made what claim? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we have the ultimate embodiment of truth in Jesus Christ. And truth, therefore, is a regulator of love. It provides the standards and boundaries of that love. Secondly, in verses 2 through 3, we see that truth is a resident of true believers. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace, peace be with you. Mercy from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. True believers have truth dwelling in them, abiding in them, residing there. Now, you think about truth and what it is, and it is Jesus Christ, and it is God's commandments. And you as a believer have that truth in you, and it's going to be there forever. In other words, I love this point here. It shall be with us forever. In other words, the truth of God has no end. It continues on and on. Without truth, believers would know no standards or boundaries. Again, truth plays a very important role in a believer's life. Thirdly, in verse 4, we see truth as a reality of true faith. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Walking in truth. You realize that a person who lives by faith and is following Jesus Christ, truth is going to be pouring out of their lives. Their life is going to be an example of truth. Without truth, faith would know no object or clear purpose. Think about that. Think about how important truth is in your life and to your faith. We take it for granted so often, but we have a faith that is based in Jesus Christ, who is truth. We have a faith that's based in the Word of God, that is truth. And that is so very important to our faith, truth. Truth provides the promises and the substance to our faith. A life lived in the sphere of truth is a life of true faith in Jesus Christ. This is cause for great joy when we observe this kind of life lived out among family, friends, or our church. Notice here that John writes, and he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth. What a precious thing to say. I rejoice because I see you walking in truth. I see faith. I see your faith. Why? How can I see your faith? Because I can see you walking in truth. I can see you walking the ways of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, we go to verses 5 and 6, where John transitions now from establishing truth and what truth is to introducing the concept of love and how love and truth go hand in hand. I mean, think about that. I mean, you think of Ephesians automatically speaking the truth in love, right? And you take either one of those things away and it's of no value. Or it will accomplish negative rather than positive, right? I mean, if you speak the truth in an unloving manner, it's not good. Or if you speak in a loving manner but you don't speak the truth, you're a liar. And so it's very interesting how these two concepts go hand in hand, and they're very, very important for us in our lives. I mean, as you live your life, be a proclaimer of the truth, but stand in the love of God. Be one who loves. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. And now I beseech you, lady. And remember, lady here could be referring to a lady, as in a person, or could be almost a code term for the church. Because remember, we're dealing with persecution. And John didn't know whose hands this letter might be in, and so he could have used those kinds of terms. Nevertheless, we can still understand the truth here. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, here we're seeing why he's established the foundation of truth. Because he's going to speak about love, and then he is going to say, you need to know all of this stuff because deceivers are in the world. False prophets, false teachers are among the churches. In some of the reading and study that I've done, it speaks of different religious, quote-unquote, leaders, false teachers that would be traveling around during these days in the different churches and introducing concepts into the faith and doctrine of the church that sounded good on the outside but had little things that were wrong with them. And I want you to take note that John here is seeking to prepare, strengthen, and protect these people. First, we see his mention of the commandment from the beginning. Now, I read John chapter 13. Remember that? John chapter 13, where Jesus gave a new commandment to his disciples. And he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I believe this is quite possibly the commandment that John is referring to and referring this church to. Listen, church, remember what Jesus Christ told you. This is nothing new. I'm not giving you some new concept. I'm giving you a commandment from the beginning, or from its origin, from Jesus Christ. And that is, love one another. Wow. Love. Do you know, you realize what that means? We are to love one another. It means that we have a sacrificial, unconditional goodness, kindness, affection for one another. It means that we invest our lives in one another. It means that we take the truth that we hold so dear and we display it through our character by way of love to other people. As we talk about this concept of love, it's all throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 5, verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then in the first epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." The verse then continues on, and I'm done singing. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice, when we talk about love, it's in conjunction with what person? Jesus Christ. I found an illustration about a certain medieval monk announced that he'd be preaching the next Sunday evening on the love of God. As the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered. And in the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle. And he carried it up to the crucifix. And first of all, he illumined the crown of thorns, next the two wounded hands, then the marks of the spear wound. And in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and he left the chapel. There was nothing else to say. And it's an interesting picture. That's a message. That's the message of the love of God. And of course, the love we know wasn't left on the cross, but he rose again. And again, we see the love of God in a living Savior. Well, as we look at this text, we see that he introduces this commandment that is not a new commandment, but an old commandment from the beginning that Jesus gave to his disciples. But then we also see, "And this is love," verse 6. So now he's building on what he has already said, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." And so he reminds them of, this is the commandment, love one another. All right. So he has built the case of truth and the importance of truth as a regulator of their love. And now he's saying, love one another. You know the truth. Love one another in that sphere of truth. And this is love. Okay. So you're looking for a definition of love. Listen up. Here it is. This is love. Walk after his commandments. Now you may sit here and you may think, man, it's kind of circular reasoning or whatever, but whose commandments are we talking about here? His commandments, God's commandments. All right, so if this is love, walk after His commandments. That means that true love equals obeying God. True love equals obeying God. You know, it's a powerful thing to be able to know the truth, and God in His infinite word has preserved it for us so that we might understand Him. And here we have a very clear description of what love is and what it means. Obey God. How do you know how to obey God? How do you know? You obey God, and you can know how to obey God by knowing His commandments. How do you know His commandments? And there we are again. Pastor's always saying, spend time in the Word. Well, there's good reason to. There's good reason to. Because how are you to know how to love? You know how to love by obeying God's commandments. And how do you know what those commandments are unless you spend time investing in His Word? And so this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And notice this term walk again. That's one foot in front of another. This is a way and manner of living. And then middle of verse 6, we see this. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So John, as he's speaking to this church, he reminds them of the commandment from the beginning, love one another. And then he helps define what that love means. He says true love equals obeying God and His commandments. And then he says that obeying God's commandments are to be your way of life. Why? For many deceivers are entered into the world. Isn't it interesting now? We've talked about truth, and now we're talking about liars. John understands the plight of the world, understands the false teachers that are in the world of these days. And of our times today, there are false teachers. There are those that will come in and they will seek to teach false doctrine. They will come into your home. I mean, we're going to talk more about what that means next time we're together, because there's some interesting things that John mentions here about how to handle deceivers, how to handle false teachers. And I believe it's important for us to know. But before we look at all of that, he builds the foundation of be truth livers, be people that are living the truth, walking in the truth, and walking in love. As the church, I believe those are two very key concepts that we must get. We must have a firm foothold on the truth and on loving one another. My God, I love Thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love Thee not are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, Thou didst me upon the cross embrace, for me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless and sweat of agony, yea, death itself and all for me. Who was Thine enemy? Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love Thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell, not from the hope of gaining aught, nor seeking a reward, but as Thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord. So would I love Thee, dearest Lord, and in Thy praise will sing, solely because Thou art my God and my most loving King. God, I thank You for the love of God. And Lord, we understand love because of Your love that You have shown to us. And God, I pray that you would strengthen your church as you did back in the first century. Again, that you would strengthen us as we understand truth and we understand love and how intimately they are connected. And may they be a foundation of our lives and of this church. And so, Lord, that we might be prepared and equipped to face the false teaching of our day. Lord, we know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know the truth, and it illuminates that which is false. Our love is a great strength to our body. Our love provides and cares for one another. Our love is defined by the truth, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for teaching us this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.